when you know their testimony. Before I go there, Brother Moshe, let me just say a few words, announcements that they wanted me to give you. Well, let me just point out something. Haven't our young adults done a marvelous job? Again, you can do better than that. I've been blessed with a marvelous team since I've gotten here, and I want to thank them for helping lead in worship today this outstanding ensemble of Voices of Praise, and Walter and all of the musicians. I want to thank our Minister of Music for working with them and shaping them. I want to thank my wife and... One thing that they did not mention was on the survey from the experience this past month was that our in-house chef for the youth and young adults got high praise. And so, Tallulah Pay, we want to thank you. She is a culinary student over at the culinary school that's around UT's campus. I cannot remember the name of it. I couldn't hear. So that place. But if you want to know, please ask her. And I just want to thank all of you. There was just something in my spirit. I don't know what it is. So if you just let me go there for a second, and then we'll dive into the word. It took me back home. There's a song that just says, "Have you any rivers that you think are uncrossable? And have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? God, specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Have you ever been on your bed of affliction, and the doctor has done all they could do? Remember that God specializes. He specializes in things thought impossible, and brothers, he will do, he can do. My God is able to do what no other power, Holy Ghost power, can do. Jonah 2, we'll begin at chapter 1, verse 17, going into chapter 2. The words will be on the screen. If you have your Bibles, would you follow along with me and keep them open? We'll reference the scripture together. Jonah 1, 17 says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." It's a short scripture. Let me read it one more time. "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." The word of our God. Thanks be to God. I want to speak from this subject this morning, in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all. This is Black History Month, so let me begin by telling you about my first encounter with Black history. I stand at the risk of offending some of you and maybe making some of you angry or asking some of you to relive old memories. But the first time that I can remember actually feeling Black history and being able to visualize it was whenever I went to visit my uncle, who's a deacon back home, and his son would come in every year. He didn't stay with him, and he would come in from North Carolina, so my uncle would invite me over so that we can spend some time together. And I remember vividly, whenever my cousin would come, he would always have the latest piece of gaming technology. And so, you know, whether it was at that time the Game Boy, I don't know if y'all remember that. Y'all remember the, okay, the Game Boy. And then this particular time he had the PlayStation 2. And so it was, for me, that was big money. And because my grandma would never. And she wouldn't pay no $40, $50 for a game. Like that, you just didn't hear of it. So the reason why I can remember that is, you know, whenever you had Nintendo and all that, they came in these big discs, this like box-looking thing. Well, for PlayStation 2, they had CDs for the games. So that night, after we finished playing the game, my uncle said that he wanted to watch a movie together. And we walk out, get into the living room. Whatever we ate, it was delicious, I'm sure. And I'll just never forget it, because we go from this PlayStation 2 to my uncle pulling out this series of VHS tapes. And y'all know what he made us watch? Roots. So, if you have not heard of it, for Apple and Marley that's in the building, this movie, Roots, maybe you have, you know, y'all have great parents. But if you have not, let me just, again, at the risk of offending some of us, let me remind you what Black history is about in America. I remember vividly the picture that starts in the first movie, because it's in Africa. And you have these people who are embracing and living their culture. And all of a sudden, in comes an outside presence. Aliens, Europeans, taking people from their huts, from their houses. And not only are they taking them, but they're taking them with the assistance of some sellouts in their community. I remember that because I remember feeling angry. And then I remember what it must have felt like for them to be taken from their home, strong Black men, strong Black women, now degraded, put into chains, and then put on a ship, debased in their vomit, debased by their urine and feces, coming against them from the waves of the water with limited amount of substance to eat, if any, and also laying with other men and women who have died or lost their children, screaming, tears. I remember all of that. Then they get to America, if that's the place where they land. They get to America in this series, and they're put on auction blocks like a herd of cattle. And they're numbered, if you can number a human being. in their bid on, if you can bid on a human being. And not only that, but they're sold into captivity. And let me say, they weren't sold as slaves. They were sold into slavery. They were enslaved. And I want to make sure that we address that, or that I make that very clear. Our black history is not of slavery. It's of people who were enslaved. And so they were sold into slavery. They were whipped and beaten and stripped of their name. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the feeling that they must have had to lose everything? And then, if you can't imagine it, kind of think back to what a child my age would have been saying. It couldn't have been me. They wouldn't have did that to me. It would have been some Nat Turner going on up in here, right? Like, I mean, I'd have did anything to my power to make sure that I got loose, or made sure that my enslaver didn't see another light of day. And that, let me just pause and sit on that thought for a second, that many times whenever we get into this position of captivity, whether it's in our minds, whether it's our spirits, whether it's our jobs, whatever it may be, and we'll get to that in a little bit, we get to this position where we say, this is what I would have done. This is how I would have done it, right? And then we say, God couldn't have did that to me. God could not have put me in that situation, as if we were to tell God how he was and was not going to do something, right? And I'm not blaming this on God, but I'm just saying oftentimes whenever we get into situations where we don't know how to get out of, or when we look back on the past, we say what we would have done. And then we judge history by that. But anyway, I just, as a kid, I remember feeling that. I remember feeling sadness. I remember feeling angry. I remember feeling embarrassed to be black. I remember what it was to go back to school in August and look at my friends that weren't the same skin tone as I was, a little bit different. My grandmother said that when my grandfather watched, he almost broke the TV and didn't want to watch it anymore. There was anger. There was embarrassment. There was sadness. All of those emotions can be found in the text today. In Jonah, imagine this man being told by God to go somewhere that he doesn't want to go. Now, I know y'all know the story. If you've been in Sunday school long enough, if you've come to church long enough, if you've gone to any type of vacation Bible school, they've talked about Jonah. So I know you know the story, but let me just recap it. God tells Jonah, he says, I want you to go down to Nineveh. Jonah said, what? Go where? Send who? And Jonah says, nah, bruh, I'm going another way. And so Jonah turns from the direction that God sends him. And instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to where? Huh? Starts with a J. Joppa. He goes down to this coast. He gets on a ship. I like how the passage says that he goes down to Joppa. He goes down to this pier, right, and gets down in the bottom of the ship and goes to sleep. He tries to get as far away as he can from God. And he does this because he knows what it's like if he had to go and face those. He knows what those people are like. So Jonah gets as far away as he can, goes down to the ship, down in Joppa, gets on the sea and encounters a storm. And they're trying to figure out what's happening in the storm. And then they start to cast lots. They try to throw things overboard. They're like, we must be cursed. Something is cursing us. Let's get rid of the curse. And then it turns out that it's this man that's running from God. And so then Jonah is tossed overboard. And as he's tossed overboard, He swallowed up by a big fish. That's where we land in today's text. That's where some of us are right now. Some of us don't want to hear about what God has done in the past. Not that we don't want to hear about it. Let me rephrase. Some of us don't need to talk about what's happening before. The mistakes, some of us don't need to hear or talk about the past, the sickness. Some of us don't need to talk about the heartache and the pressure from before. Some of us are living it right now. And the church often addresses what has happened. And we talk about the victory, right? I saw Walter doing that to VOP and LaRon. You know, victory. We talk about the victory of coming through. But how can we address the right here and right now? And it may be only one person in the room. It may just be me talking to myself. But sometimes it feels like we've been swallowed as a whole. We're in the midst of it. We're in the midst of it right now. We're in the midst of family trouble. We're in the midst of heartache. We're in the midst of shedding tears. We're in the midst of saying, I want to give up. I want to give out. I want to leave. I didn't ask for this. How do we deal with the midst of it? How do we deal with being in it? I don't want to hear about victory after the storm. Tell me how to live in the storm. How do I handle my emotions? How can I shape my faith? How can I believe in a God in the midst of it? Now, we can take a lesson from history. Because Black American history is world history. It's the nation's history. We can take a page from that. But I can take a page from your testimonies as well. And the first thing that we can kind of point out to one another is that in the midst of it, I want you to note that you should know the difference of feeling alone and being alone. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of whatever hell it is that you're going in or going through or in the midst of, remember to know and remind yourself of the difference of being alone and feeling alone. We talked about this in our Bible study this week, and I'm so happy about it because it gave me a new light and new perspective to the text. I had already sent in my sermon on Sunday. I was ready. I was done with it. And then we get to Bible study, and there were some testimonies. But before I get to the testimonies of some of our young adults and youth, let me just talk about Jonah's testimony for a minute and how he would have dealt with this, how he reminded himself that there is a difference of being alone and feeling alone. Y'all remember in chapter 1, just going from memory, or if you have your Bibles open, you know from the text that Jonah goes down, down, down. But then also, at the end of this, in the midst of Jonah's testimony, he remembers who put him in the well. Not only does Jonah remember who put him there, but Jonah starts to pray that that same power, that same God would get him out. See, Jonah knew that in the midst of this hole that he's in, he needed to call on the source that can get him out. He may have felt alone. He may have actually been alone himself. But he wasn't truly alone because God was there with him. Jonah, who had run from God, who had been called by God, now remembers that that same God can get him out. And that is our testimony today. Jonah had to remind himself who God was. So in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your big fish, remember who God is. Not only that, who placed him there and who can get him out. In our Bible study discussion, one of our college students who's now in Illinois was on the Zoom call. And I remember her saying, because it sat with me, she said, "You know, Reverend Spears, the way that I think about God is as a parent. Because a good parent lets you go through some stuff on your own because you're too hard-headed to figure it out. I mean, you don't listen to what your parents say. So sometimes you have to go through it, and the parent has to let you, but the parent doesn't leave you there." Now, she was talking about God, but let me point out something good about what she said. I was happy that she started to think of her parents in that way. That's the first thing. Because, you know, some people grow up despising their parents. They don't have any good in their heart for their parents. They don't see any good lessons. But there are some lessons and testimonies of parents who've been through it, who've come through the storm. And so she said, "Reverend Spears, God is like a good father." Right? And that's what Jonah did. He reminded himself that a good parent in this situation doesn't leave his child. He just had to show his child, "Listen, you're going to learn today. There are some stuff you need to figure out, but I'm not going to leave you there. So just remember that in the midst of your storm, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is that you've been through, what you're going through, what you're in the midst of now. Remember who God is." The hymn writer says, "The world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptations are sharp and keen." The world's fierce winds. "But I feel a place in knowing my Savior stands in between. He shields me from danger. When earthly friends are gone, he promised never to leave me alone." Never alone. No, never alone. Remember that. In the midst of it all, there's a difference between feeling alone and being alone. The second thing that you ought to remember is in this story of Jonah, is that sometimes you need to get out of your own way. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Sometimes it's us that causes us to be in the situation that we're in. So Jonah decided to run away from God. God didn't tell Jonah to go swallow up, go be in the swallow of a fish. God did not tell Jonah to go down to Joppa. No. That was Jonah's decision. Right? Jonah made a conscious decision to walk away from God. Sometimes that's what causes us to be in our storm. Sometimes that's what causes us to be in the belly of the fish, is that we make conscious decisions to leave from God's great anointing, God's great power, God's magnificent an awe-inspiring testament that he will keep us. He says, "Go this way," and we go that way. Have you ever been there? Have you ever disobeyed God? Have you ever done what you want? I didn't hear nobody say nothing when I asked that. Have you ever disobeyed God? Okay, all right. That's all right. Jonah caused himself to be in that predicament. In verse 3C, it says Jonah paid the price to go onto the ship. Chapter 1, Jonah goes down, and then in order to get on the ship, in order to make this conscious decision from leaving from God, y'all remember the story, right? He says he pays a fare to get on the ship. It pays to disobey God. And so Jonah disobeys him, and we learn from Jonah's mistake that in the midst of it, the reason why we're here is because we've caused this for ourselves. Sometimes we've opened our mouth too big. We said something that we should not have said, right? Some of us don't have a heart of peace. Some of us don't have a heart that could say, oh, if it was me, I would have asked, like, you know, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, Lord, forgive them, right? Well, forgive who? No, Lord, take them out, right? That's some of the positions that we have. Some of us have the position that whenever we're in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus is praying and he says, where are my disciples? No, it wouldn't have been where they at. I know where they at. I know the friends that I call to be by my side and they ain't here. You start talking about them, right? You start talking about the people, your family, your friends, your relationship stuff. Some of us don't have private mouths. No, we couldn't have sat there and took it. Yeah, you wouldn't have whipped me. You wouldn't have changed my name. You can't treat me that way and not expect something in return. Right? Some of us not only don't have a heart of control over our mouths, but some of us don't have control of our thoughts. Sometimes it's not what comes out of the mouth that gets you in trouble. It begins with your thought process. And sometimes our thoughts are what gets in the way of us having a true and meaningful relationship with God and being able to, I ain't gonna do it. And we may not say it out loud to God, but I ain't gonna change service at Ebenezer. No, you gonna do the responsive reading. Yeah, I knew that'd get you. No, we're not gonna change Sunday school time, right, Deacon Show, Sister Show? We're not gonna start to change stuff right now. Why can't it always be the way it was? Okay, that didn't get you. I'll say so. Why is it that the youth and young adults get to serve food at their events, but we can't serve food at ours? Why she got the solo in the choir? Why he singing? Right? Sometimes it begins in our minds and in our hearts. What gets us in trouble is our own self. We can't control anybody else but ourselves. Now remember, I told you this is just a reminder. Y'all already know the story of Jonah. Y'all know these points. But let me just remind you a little bit more of how you make it in the midst of your storm. Towards the end of whatever it is that Jonah has been swallowed up by, the reason why I say that is because some scholars would argue that this story is only a parable and is not a true significant or has really happened in history. And so they say it's just a parable. But whether it's a parable or not, whether Jonah was an actual person or not, whether these places were a place or location or not, I like what Jonah did. And that is Jonah prepared for his exit. And that's what we ought to do when we're in the midst of it. We should prepare for our exit. And that doesn't get anybody excited that has come through. But if you are in the midst of it, how do you deal with getting out? And the way that you get ready of getting out of it is you tell yourself, get prepared. And what did Jonah do to get prepared? He began by praying. And that was the same point last month at the end of my sermon. And yes, I'm using it again. Jonah starts by praying. He says in his conversation with God, but I, with grateful shouts of praise, will sacrifice to you. You'll see it at the end of chapter 2 after this long prayer. And he closes his remarks in conversation with God. He says, listen, I've been swallowed up. I've been deep inside the bowels of this beast. I've gone and been in the bottom of the ocean and below the mountains. And he says, but I will sacrifice a praise to you. Sometimes in your prayer, you don't have to ask God to get you out because you know God is going to get you out. You just have to prepare what that's going to be like when you get out. And so what I've talked to myself about in the midst of my storm is how I'm going to handle my composure when I get out. I've decided that I'm going to praise him not just then, but I'm going to praise him in the midst of my storm. I'm going to praise him in the midst of whatever it is that has me by the ankles, that has me shackled, that has my mind bound. I'm going to praise him in the midst of it. Prepare for your exit. I told you at the beginning of worship, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that my wife and I like to host company at the house. And we've had the youth and young adult leadership team and one of our Bible studies there. We love doing it. But, you know, my wife, as y'all can tell by her composure up here, I'm sure, is an assistant principal. And so she gets off work pretty late. So whenever she has to cook, you know, she'll do something quick, you know, real instant. Like, you know, y'all know how some grandparents, they tell you that when they're cooking, they don't go buy instant stuff. They buy, like, the real sweet potatoes and all that. Anyway, so it's not bad. My wife is a wonderful cook. If y'all can't tell, I picked up a few pounds since I've been here, and that's because of her good cooking. That's not the point. The point is that whenever she cooks, she has to prep about 2 or 3 days before. So she knows exactly how long it's going to take to cook a big meal for a lot of people. See, you can't just come home and turn on the stove and throw something in and expect for it to be ready by the time people come over in 30 minutes, right? If you're going to cook a big meal, then you have to make sure that you have everything clean. You have your pots and your pans ready. You got to make sure that you thought through what it is that you're going to make. And then maybe you have to make some revisions just in case it doesn't work out right. So you got to prep for all of that. You got to make sure you have your seasonings ready. Some of y'all ain't cooked in here, I see. But some of you know, right, that sometimes a good meal takes a good portion of planning. It's not just about the cooking. It's what goes into it. I'm trying to shape it, Giovanni. I'm trying to shape it. So why is it that if we know that we have to prep for food, if we know that we have to study for exams, we know that there's going to be a big celebration going on, we got to go get our stuff ready. Why is it that we can't take that same mindset when we are prepped to get out of this thing alive? Why can we not prep to praise God in advance? Why is it that we cannot prep ourselves to get ready for what God is going to do in our lives? It takes planning. It takes preparation. It takes prayer. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of it all, remember those three things. Know the difference of feeling alone and being alone. Also know that you got to get out of your own way. And last and not least, you have to remember that you have to prepare for your exit. And maybe that is your testimony this morning as we prepare for our invitation. Maybe you remember what it was like to be in the midst of something Maybe you're in the midst of it now. All you got to do is those three things. But there's one more thing. You got to take Jesus with you. And if you don't know Jesus, if you want a better relationship with him, then I offer that to you this morning. I offer you the chance of a lifetime to experience all of this with somebody. You don't have to do it alone. You have a God that's on your side. So deacons, come now. Brothers, come. So deacons, come now. Brothers, come. Ministers, come as we receive somebody that just wants to start again, that wants this experience with a Christ that loves you and that will walk with you through hell and high water. Would you stand, Ebenezer? And if that's you, would you come? If you're looking for a place to go through it with somebody, Ebenezer is the place for you. We want you to belong to a family that believes and that will hold true to a God that is able. God is able, isn't he? I said, God is able, isn't he? We offer Christ to you, oh my brother, oh my sister. Would you sing that?
We offer Christ to you.
Christ that wants you and be in the family that belongs to you. Come to Christ. Would you sing that again? We offer Christ to you, oh my brother, oh my sister. Raise your voices, Ebenezer. Oh, we offer Christ.
We offer Christ to you,
oh my brother.
Oh my brother.
Yes, we offer Christ to you, oh my sister. Somebody, whether they're in this building or whether they're online, would come to you, trusting, oh God, that you have them even in the midst of their storm, even in the midst of their procurements, even in the midst of their situation. Oh God, remind us that you love us. Continue to be with us at night when we're by ourselves. Oh God, help our youth and our young adults know that even in the midst of it, they can plan because you're with them every step of the way, and they will get out sooner or later. Lord, we give you thanks. We lift you in all that we do and everything that we say. Through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Before we receive our benediction, let me give you just a few more announcements. Again, for our youth and young adults who are worshiping with us in person, we're going to ask that you would stay after worship. Let's meet in the fellowship hall. And then if you are online and you are a youth and young adult, we're going to send out the link to you. If you would text me or text Walter or my wife or Preston, we can send you the Zoom link. That's for VOP as well. We want to just have a few words with all of our youth and young adults as we plan for the experience and some upcoming events. Let me also say that our church anniversary, Ebenezer, is next week. So we're inviting all of our families to come. We still have plenty of room and the balcony. So please feel free to invite your family for our church 148th anniversary. Now y'all want to talk. Okay. So let's join together for our 147th anniversary next week. If your people cannot be in person, we will also have the online link. However, because of the four awards that were given, let me just remind you what they are. The furthest traveled, the most family in attendance, the oldest family member in attendance, and the youngest family member in attendance. If you want them to be counted and they cannot be here, then we have a Zoom link. Email the church office, and those persons have to be on the Zoom link in order to be counted for that award, and we'll recognize them at the end of worship next week. We'll have those to give out. One more. I also want to say that we've been given an announcement about voting. I'm sorry, is it voting? Yes. From there are a limited number of League of Women Voter guides in the church foyer. There will be additional guides next Sunday. Early voting starts Monday, February 14th. Would you receive now our benediction? May His peace be with you till we meet again.
May His peace be with you.
This morning, Mr. Byron Groves, who is a man. He is in 11th grade at LBJ High School, and so we're happy to have him here at Ebenezer this morning. Thank you for coming. I knew I had something else. I just couldn't find my note. And to our guests, we are dismissing by rows, but we want you to know that you're always welcome to come back again. And hopefully, sooner or later, we'll be able to greet you and hug on you and welcome you back to Ebenezer. But thank you for coming. Would you receive our benediction, Ebenezer? Oh, God, our Father, we ask that you would watch over us, that you would keep us in perfect peace until we meet in this place or online again. Lord, continue to be with our youth and our young adults. Strengthen and keep them as only you can. And Lord, we ask all of this by your blessings. Through Christ and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. Please remain seated until the ushers dismiss you.